Hey, everybody. This is Kyler Bingham with Salt Lake Dirt and KPCR 92.9 FM in Los Gatos. Very excited today to talk to, a film editor, someone film and commercial editor. I've never had one on the show before, and I've been wanting to have one. Lucas Harger is with us today. Two films that he worked on are going to be at South by Southwest in early March, Lions of Mesopotamia, which has its premiere March 9th, and then Clemente has its premiere March 11th. Lucas, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so
I'm honored to be the first editor.
Yeah, well, okay, that makes me feel a little better because I was like, I'm a little nervous because I feel like I'm gonna ask some naive questions, but I'm just super interested in the field itself. So before we jump into the films, I would just love to hear kind of like your backstory of how you got into this.
I mean, I kind of came at it a little bit, you know, there's the old editor trope coming up of like making skateboard videos. I came at it a little bit of a side angle, and I grew up in Michigan, in rural Michigan, and so there's a lot of lakes, and so all my buddies were always wakeboarding, and so I made wakeboarding videos for their sponsorship, and then they all went off to ride in the X Games and were super famous in their little wakeboard thing, and so I was not, which is why I was shooting and editing this, and so I just kind of stuck with it all through high school, all the way up and through my four plus colleges, never studied it. I graduated with music business degree, which is kind of like a pre-law in creative contract, which has proven to be a little bit helpful in this industry, but just always had an affinity for the filmmaking process and specifically editing. I hated production. I hated being on set. I hated all of that. And so I'd always look forward to early on when I had to do it all, I would always look forward to getting to the edit. So I was just trying to collect as many things as I could so I knew I was covered in the edit, and then I would make it, you know, really kind of piece it together in the edit. And so then I moved to St. Louis after graduating and just kind of started freelance around town. Ended up here at Brut & Strobe, started a post-production division of Brut & Strobe that we call Outpost, and yeah, that's kind of it.
Very cool. No, I love that. I think So this show, initially I just started having novelists on the show, writers. So to me, I equate writing a lot with editing.
Yeah.
Just in my mind, I do.
And
So I'm just, you know, especially with a documentary, like the two projects that we're chatting about today, just how important a good editor is to really make or break the film.
Yeah.
And so I guess we could just talk about, so these are both sports films, that are going to be at South by Southwest. And then, I think it's so great that you initially had that experience of doing the stuff with your friends. So, I would just love to hear about kind of how you even approach cutting a sports film. Like with these specific projects, maybe you could talk about like how involved the director was, how much leeway you had to kind of make it work or put it together. I'm just coming into this pretty blind. I'm just really interested. It seems like a pretty daunting task. I mean, any editing project, a feature, I can't imagine how much work is involved in that. But cutting together a good sports documentary, when I watch them, I'm always just impressed with just how they can build, you know, it's as exciting as any good action film if it's done right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think you're totally right. Like, documentary is the editor's medium. That's where the editor really shines and is kind of, you know, brought into that almost like a co-directing stamp. I mean, it's just like really getting super involved in the nitty gritty with the director and thinking about the narrative structure, sure, and the scene structure for sure, but also thinking about the packaging of the film, the aesthetic, how the graphics feel, how the archival is portrayed, the music, temp score that hopefully turns into original score, like all these different aspects. The editor is really, and that's what drew me into editing feature documentaries in general, because I had I was just interested in more than just cutting to a script that was provided. There's a lot of great things that go with scripted editing, but there's a big, I would say, difference once you get into doc, because you are kind of dropped in the ocean of footage and it's just like time to swim. Yeah. And so, you know, for these docs, couple few hundred hours of footage, the director will come in I like to come in early as possible, but at latest, like maybe 60, 70% through like principal production, photography and interviews and all of that stuff, because I like to watch down the interview from a completely third party at this point, outside point of view, and then be able to dialogue with the director and be like, here are the holes in the story. This is super interesting. Can we push it here? I feel like we need to get some production days here and here to fill in some thoughts. And so then at that point, I'm really running alongside with the director. And so with these films, I'll speak to Lions of Mesopotamia specifically. There's a lot of archival. And so it was also working with archival producers to source the footage and the things we need. And they would send out researchers and start pulling stuff from these different eras of, because it starts with the Iraq national team in 2000 and follows them through 2007. And so there's all of this war and turmoil that's happening in the country. And so surprisingly, a ton of archival footage around it. And so they were pulling it in. I was working with the director on story beats, and we were going back and forth as I was cutting and kind of building the aesthetic of the film. And so it's very cat and mouse. It's very cart before the horse, and then horse before the car, and then, you know, just getting in there and playing with scenes and seeing, finding the DNA of the film and finding the identity of the film. At the beginning, it's just like pulling a bunch of threads and seeing like, is this the film? Is this the film? It's like the Michelangelo, like you have a huge block of marble placed on your desk, and now you have to whittle away everything that is not David to arrive at what is David. Like, just remove, once you identify the identity of a film as a doc editor, then it's just a process of, is this the film or not? It's like, nope. Throw it away. Yes, go down that path. And you just like constant exploration until all of a sudden it's just like, there's a whole cut. How did that happen? I have no idea. I blacked out.
I love that. I mean, you know, I guess it just with like, you know, writing a book, they chunk it down by scenes. And it's like you just kind of focus on that. You have your overarching thing, possibly not. But you're kind of working in the scene itself and just focusing in on that. So I want to ask, you know, it's a truly an art form, but also, you know, it's your business. So this is what you do for a living. And when you're hired for a project, you're hired for a feature film, let's say, how does that typically work as far as time frame goes? Because I'd imagine you have a specific time frame. Every project is different. How do you start when you have a project that has like 200 hours of footage? How long does that take you? How do you know how long that will take you?
I mean, after doing it a few times, you kind of have a rough sense of where you think you're going to land as far as time invested and then turning that into budgets and dollars and building companies and stuff. And so, but it's always a little bit of a guessing game. And then as an editor, I never want to hold the production or the director hostage because I overestimate, you know what I mean? And so it quickly becomes this, like you're just starting to cut with friends at a certain point. Like Lions of Mesopotamia was like two and a half years of post. There's some downtimes in there, obviously, you know, I am running the business, but then also my other passion is commercial. Like I love cutting short form commercial. And so the commercial can kind of help with, you know, some of that longer form timeline stuff. And so you kind of take your best shot. I kind of take my best shot at how long I think it's going to take. And then I hold on to that. And then if we get down the road and it's just like, okay, we're at a rough cut of a feature. And now we've decided it's going to be a 6-part series. It's like, well, then we need to revisit the budget and revisit the timeline because it's a total change of scope. But I'm always trying to, you know, I'm pretty meticulous at keeping track of my hours throughout projects. And so then I can now go back and look at other projects of similar ilk and be like, how long did that take me? How long did this take me? There's always going to be a little bit of flexibility and wiggle room in there, but that's how I do that. But also keeping the commercials is great. And I love commercials, and keeping a healthy roster of commercial clients helps a lot with these long timelines, because it will be pencils down for 6 months at one point. It will be, we have to wait, now it's in score for three, whatever. Like there's going to be those times. And so being able to like weave in other projects that aren't necessarily another feature is super beneficial in this kind of the structure that I'm working in and attempting to build. And also it's just like a creative relief. Like you can cut a commercial in like a couple of weeks and it's just like, I accomplished something in a week. That's a miracle. It's like, I've been working on this feature for a year. So it feels good to accomplish something as well.
Oh, that's cool. Now, like, so with a feature, because you do spend so much time with it, and I like what you said earlier about when you're coming to a project and you're like, you're the third party coming in, watching it, you weren't on location, you're seeing it with fresh eyes. So when you work on a project for so long, I would imagine one of the challenges is you get so immersed in your perspective of it. How do you pull back, or do you, how do you find, let's say you're getting stuck at a point and not sure what to do, not sure what direction to go, and you feel too close to the project, but you have that, you know, limitation that you're on a timeline here. What do you do in those situations where you do feel kind of stuck?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's creating spaces and opportunities to either not get stuck or get unstuck as soon as humanly possible. With a lot of these timelines, and as they are, especially some of them are a little bit more strict because it's for a platform and you have really defined calendars. Some are a little looser, whatever. But in both scenarios, you don't really have time to wait for the creative genius to come around. It's like, you know, I kind of got to go now and it's got to be good. And so for me in my workflow, and I think the kind of cutter I am, it's like having defined spaces, like my edit where I cut out of, having a very defined focus space, but it's also surrounding myself with my team and my collaborators. And so I pull people in who understand the process and understand what a rough cut is, what temp mixes, understand all of these things like the other editors here, and have them watch down a scene. I always work with Elise, my story producer. And so she knows me creatively very well. And so we can like kind of pull each other and push each other. And she can be like, maybe we should go work on this scene now. Right. And so it's like kind of keeping it fresh. And so for me, it's creating the environment. It's creating the team that keeps me excited, inspired. And because, I mean, when you press play, you work on a scene for like a month and you press play on it with someone who hasn't seen it and you see everything that's wrong with it. And you know exactly what you have to do and where you now have to go. It's like, you know, that the atoms in the room vibrate differently. And you're just like, I don't need you to say anything. I know what I need to do. You can leave now. So it's like building the structures to not allow you to get stuck, or if you do get stuck, to get unstuck quickly.
That's so interesting, because I think, you know, I was in a writing workshop a while back, and it's like the same kind of thing. It's like, I submit my pages that I've been working so hard on for a while and I'm so in it. And then as soon as I click submit, and I know that people are going to be reading it in the next couple of days, I start thinking about things. And sure enough, a lot of the comments that come back are stuff that popped into my brain after I sent it over. So
totally.
It's like just that pressure of having other eyes on it. I think it can be so helpful in the artistic process. So let's talk about, let's just give people a brief synopsis of the film, especially if they're going to be traveling down to the festival, just so they're aware of it. So let's start with Lions of Mesopotamia. You touched on it briefly, what is that film about?
So that film is about it follows the 2007 team through the Asian Cup tournament. And that was at the height of the sectarian civil war that was happening in Iraq. But then it goes back and it starts early with this team in 2000 when they were under the Ba'athist regime, and Saddam and Uday had like very, very, very tight grip of the national team because it's a way that they can control the population. Yeah, there's national pride, there's all of this stuff. And so the environment that these kids at the time were playing in was crazy. Torture for the national team players if they didn't play well, punishments, severe punishments, imprisonment, all of this stuff that these kids were playing under. So it follows them as they came together. And then it follows them into 2004 during the U.S. invasion. And the team miraculously made the 2004 Athens Olympics and just started to rip through and perform really, really well. And then it follows all of the politics and the inner workings of what Bush was trying to use them as an example of democracy, and they were pushing it. So it follows through all of that politics, and then it follows them into 2007, as I said, the height of the sectarian civil war, and the team was comprised of Sunnis and Shias and Kurds and Muslims. And so the country started to look to them as this shining example of a free, of not a free, but as a united Iraq, as a free from sectarianism Iraq. And the country kind of rallied around them. And as they made their way through this tournament, all of these crazy twists and turns happened. And they're hailed as like the team that united Iraq. And it's a wild story. I always say it's between 2000 and 2007, it's the tragedy of Iraq as told through the national team. Mm. So it's a fun stage. It's an interesting stage, the sports thing, but it quickly goes way deeper, way bigger, way more, but it always is grounded back. All of a sudden now we're back in competition. And so it's got all of those elements and aspects, and it's interviews with a bunch of the team members from the 07 and 2000 team. And there's like, they're basically telling their story for the first time. So it's really, really, you know, emotional for them and powerful. And so it's a once in a career story. It's just like, Are you kidding me? This is crazy.
That sounds fascinating. Yeah. I can't wait to see it. And then the other one, Clemente. So that's about Roberto Clemente, the baseball player, who I was not familiar with before, as I'm sure probably a lot of our listeners. So tell us about that one.
Yeah, so that one I was the supervising editor, and Chent was the lead editor on that one. And so I took, as the term would suggest, a more supervising role. But that film has more, it's a bio doc. It's following Roberto Clemente as his early coming up in Puerto Rico and then going into the MLB. And he was... So they still give out the Roberto Clemente Award in the MLB. They have Clemente Day. It's just kind of like philanthropic good deed award, like the best human baseball player of the year. And that's kind of what embodied him. And that's who he was. And so he was always going to hospitals. He was always being with kids. He was always looking for ways to help Puerto Rico. He was always looking for opportunities to be a humanitarian. And it was also, he was playing around the... He was playing in a time where there was just a ton of racial turmoil going on. And so him going into the MLB, especially for Puerto Ricans and broader Hispanics into the MLB, he kind of paved the way for that, but then also showed how you can be an incredible baseball player, but also an incredible humanitarian and someone who looks out for your brother and sister on the right and on the left and anywhere. It's like, be a good human and do good things. And so it follows his life and career, some really interesting twists and turns. And I don't know, it's kind of like, it's like one of those sports docs that just like calls you to be a better person, like calls you to, you know, be more than what you are now and just look out for your neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And we should mention that Richard Linklater is involved in one of these films, you know.
Yeah, Clemente. Yep.
Yeah.
He's the EP. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, it sounds like both of them really, like, really incredible films. Like, I'm going to definitely keep my eye out. So eventually when these do get a broader release, we'll make sure we let our listeners know. Yeah. Very nice talking to you, Lucas. I feel like I'd love to have you back on at some point and talk more about the nitty gritty of editing. Anything else you want to add as we wrap up here today?
No, I mean, I appreciate it. I appreciate having me on, and I'd love to get back on and chat editing, and we can go as deep and wide as you want. I could talk about editing for the rest of my life. So.
I love it. I love the passion, and yeah, we'll definitely have you back on for an hour episode at some point. Cool. Again, everybody. So the two films going to be at South by Southwest, Lions of Mesopotamia and Clemente. That's going to be in early mid-March, and we'll have links to where people can pick up tickets if they happen to be in Austin for the festival. Lucas, thank you so much for being here today.
Yes. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.